This evening, Jesus was nice enough to give us the key to understanding his parable. He doesn't do that very often in the Gospels, explaining what the parables mean. But nevertheless, our reading for tonight left out one key snippet that comes immediately after the reading as it was appointed. He says, "Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away." Take care then how you hear. How do you deal with what Jesus is saying? Where do you begin? Begin with Jesus' own words and what he said. "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Whoever does not properly hear God's word hears it to their judgment. There are times that you hear the word of God, and perhaps it goes in one ear and out the other. This especially happens when God's holy law is proclaimed to show you your sin, and you'd have nothing to do with it. So also the word is not properly heard when it is heard just out of devout attention, without devout attention, just hearing words, not God's holy word, his word for you. When the word of God becomes just mere habit, come because that's your habit, but you really don't like to hear that word, perhaps even hating it, that word is to you a judgment. This was the case for those coming from town after town to hear Jesus, and it is still the case today. When one receives the word, that is the seed he speaks of, and there is no room for it, the seed does not take root. It withers, it dies, it is trampled, or it is choked by the thorns of this world. The result then, of course, is that the hearer of the word never comes to faith in Christ. They might believe for a time, but then get angry with the word, perhaps a severe word of judgment against them, perhaps a lifestyle or behavior that they have adopted that God specifically prohibits. And then perhaps that word is pushed away when they're in a time of trial. At this time, they have made the soil of their heart infertile, a hard, trampled place like a path. And the devil comes and snatches that seed away. Perhaps the one that you've heard most of, though, of all the four types of soil, the one that you've heard of the most is likely the one with the thorns. The thorns, which Jesus tells you are the cares and riches of this world that rise up to choke the seed, the word of God. But in any case, whether it be on that hard trampled soil, upon the rock, upon the ground full of thorns, that seed of the word is killed and becomes a word of judgment against you, your death. See, the preaching of Christ, the preaching of the gospel, doesn't always work repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Sometimes we speak the word of the gospel and a person's heart is hardened to it. This especially happens with the parables, as we hear today. These parables are often dark mysteries, difficult to decipher. By no means do the people who hear it want to see and hear, and they shall not see and hear. As Jesus says, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand." God gradually withdraws from them his light as they resist and refuse and go after the cares of this world until eventually they can no longer understand his heavenly, divine things. Whether or not they continue to hear God's word outwardly, even further, the content of the parables and deed of the word of forgiveness becomes hidden and sealed to them. And the more they hear that word, the more dull they become. We should search our hearts to heed Jesus' word, to take care then how we hear, to maybe consider how we fit into one of those three soils, and then to repent. We should beware the trap of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature that seek to harden the soil of our heart, cause that seed to scorch in the sunlight and to be choked by the cares that dwell richly in us. But you can't blame God in all of this. You can't blame God for not trying, for he is a reckless sower. He casts that seed when and where he wills. And he does desire all people to come to the knowledge of truth, to be saved. You can't blame the seed because it is a good seed. It is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. It is a lamp that shines in a dark place. When that word of the seed falls into the soil of your heart, it can't lie there and do nothing. It will bear witness to the heart, your heart, as you hear it. Consider St. Stephen as he preached in Acts chapter 7. Those who heard the word that he spoke, which was a word of both law and gospel, condemnation and forgiveness in Christ, they were enraged. The people were. And they ground their teeth at Stephen. They cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. They cast him out of the city and stoned him. So also later, Felix, the governor of Judea, when he heard Paul speak about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment, was alarmed and said, "Go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you." King Agrippa commented to Paul about his preaching, "In a short time, would you persuade me to be a Christian?" These men in the book of Acts, all three, King Agrippa, Felix, the governor, those men who seized Stephen, they were all so close to receiving that word of God with great joy, having been prepared by hearing the word of promise in the Old Testament. And yet, they let other matters stand in their way to true contrition and repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Which leaves us with this question: am I a good soil? But we can't answer that question very well either. Its answer belongs to God. Those who hear the word in simplicity and humility as God's word, just as those disciples did in hearing the parable and its explanation, those are good soil. How can this be? Well, it is a mystery, one not to be solved by our reason, but solved from God in eternity. The Lord knows who is and will always be his. He knows who are truly well prepared, who will hear the word and let it take root. Place your confidence there. God makes the heart good land in his word, especially by the preaching of his word. For apart from God, your heart would be utterly resistant to his word. But when his word, like a rain shower, passes over you, makes that hardened soil fertile for his seed of the word. The word itself does the work, makes it fertile. That is why we abide in his word always, lest our hearts be hardened to it. Consider Psalm 26. "I wash my hands in innocence, and I go around your altar, O Lord, proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling all your wondrous deeds. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells." When you properly hear the word, that is the seed, It will rise up in your heart. Put down roots deeper and deeper and put you in a better state to overcome all sorts of troubles in this life. To escape the trouble of the well-trodden path. Escape that hardening of your heart to the point of being a rock, not fertile at all, not able to take root. Prevent you from being more fertile towards the thorns, the cares and riches of this world that seek to strangle that word of God. It is the word itself that does this work, does it in you. St. Paul calls the seed of the word the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death, and to the other, the fragrance of life to life. Who is sufficient in all these things? Whose fragrance truly is life to life, the aroma of Christ to God? Apart from Christ, no one. Nevertheless, God in his grace brings to you knowledge of his good word, comes and makes your heart fertile for him to receive that word in great joy so that it cannot be snatched or scorched or even choked. Because you hear the word of God with this great joy, because you believe that the word of Christ made flesh, died for your sin, and rose for your justification, because you trust in Christ as Savior from sin, death, and hell, because his blood shields you from the angel of death, because Jesus lives, you also shall live. How could something as beautiful as the gospel of peace be so despised then by the world? Well, Jesus reveals to us in the parable that it will be. It is so. Some receive the word without joy and thanksgiving for what Christ has done, with unrepentant hearts, with those who hear it with joy but don't let it work in them to make their rocky soil into a fertile soil. Even those who would allow their cares and concerns in this world to snatch it away from them, to strangle it. But Jesus also tells us that the seed falls on good soil, and there will bear abundant fruit. The fruit of the seed are good works that flow from faith in Jesus Christ. What you do and how you live among those who do not know the Lord Jesus shows what you have received, shows that the word dwells richly in you, shows the love of God in Christ Jesus. We boast in our weakness, as Paul did. God gives you a particular station, a vocation in your life where he can use those talents that he gives you to serve others. And in doing so, you serve the Lord and you bear abundant fruit. We ought then to heed our Lord's word of warning, as we do every word of warning. Take care then how you hear. Your soul is dear to the Lord. Hear his word regularly with joy. The Lord will surely give what he has promised, his blessing. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they do hear. They see and hear that the kingdom of God comes in his word. That kingdom is yours now because of Christ's blood and righteousness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.